on the air right now. Yes.
When you wake up.
Hi, this is Jim from Safety Words. Before we start the program, I want to make sure everyone understands that we often talk about OSHA and EPA citations, along with some other regulatory actions from other agencies, legal cases, and criminal activity. Everyone is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. Proposed fines are exactly that, and they are often litigated, reduced, or vacated. We use available public records, news accounts, and press releases. We cannot warranty or guarantee the details of any of the stories we share, since we are not directly involved with these stories, at least not most of the time. Enjoy the show.
This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And from the border of liberty and prosperity in the highway to north is the Safety Words for Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. We are sounding more and more like a real radio show here every day. Yes, what did we have? We had our pre-show going today. Today was, if you're a Christian, Ash Wednesday, we had some religious music, and, that's how we roll here. How's everybody doing? Right, we'll just do that on the religious holidays. We'll try to have some other appropriate Safety Wars-style music here. Love in the safety zone, for example. So what's funny is we have these OBS platforms. One of them allows me to play music, the other one doesn't. So we can figure out which one I'm going to use from now on. And we're starting to learn more and more and more as we go along. I was hanging out this afternoon over at St. Paul Lutheran Church over in Monroe, and they have an entire broadcast center set up there. A lot of stuff going on and everything else. Hold on. Someone's playing games with a thermostat here. I didn't touch it. But, we were hanging out there, and we saw their whole setup there. They have, I don't know what you would call it, live streaming every service. And I tell you what, it's a pretty impressive setup they have there. Pretty impressive setup. Multiple cameras, sound systems, microphones, wireless mic. They got a lot of stuff going on there, all run by a volunteer, so... If you ever have a chance to check them out online, go ahead and do it. I'll put in a plug for them here. Now, a lot of stuff going on here in the world. I mean, what we've been doing here is... Now you're going to say, well, politics, and last night we had that meeting on, we had that Senate confirmation hearing. Where else are you going to hear it? Where else are you going to hear it? But here. Some people like it, some people don't like it, but what the point is this. Information. Part of what we do here is supply information to you. Make up your own judgment. If you hear something here you don't agree with, or you may say, hey, maybe I got to double check, please double check it. I take corrections. If you want to correct me, that's fine. That's okay. We're good. We are good. We are so good. And I appreciate the leeway you give me as I get better at doing this thing. Remember, it's a one-man show here. But what's a lot going on here? So, President Trump is continuing to get his cabinet set up, right? We're, 43 days, I think, into this here thing. He had his speech last night. And I tell you what, this is all I'll say on that. You get very few points in the public eye, usually, if you're rude. American public will put up with anything. I mean the congenial public that pays attention. Now, so for example, you go into a courtroom, you start acting like a jerk. I know the TikTok is filled with things. You're not going to get too many people's sympathy because you go to court, there's an expectation that you act a certain way. You go into a church, there's this expectation that you act a certain way. You go into a mosque, there's an expectation, a synagogue, an expectation. You're going into a legislative body. That's why you have Robert's Rules of Order there, where you go in and you try to act appropriately. I don't think the Democrats won any points last night. That's all I'll say on that. It may feel good. Believe me, it feels good to tell someone to go whatever. It feels good to yell at and blurt out stuff. It feels good to do whatever. And that doesn't mean that you should do it. Because that feeling of feeling good, that is very fleeting. Same thing. How does this relate to safety or to our safety industry? In our safety industry, it's a similar thing. Right? Well, what do you mean, Jim? If you're in a meeting, what do you do? Do you go out there and you start yelling and screaming at people during the meeting? Yeah, that may feel good. That may be effective for a minute, but everyone that gets out of that meeting, they say, "Wow, what a bleeping, bleep, 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 woof, no, Kartoffelkopf. No, idiot. Yelling and screaming, what is that person trying to prove? At least, it's like that you often create an enemy. We have enough enemies in life. We have enough adversaries, right? Some people find pleasure in having adversaries. You're out there and you're screaming and yelling. You're in a meeting. You're in whatever. And you start and you get into an argument. And guess what? You made at least one enemy. And believe me, with the resources people have at their fingertips nowadays, right? With the resources we have at our fingertips, the internet, AI, the phone, video camera, video recording, anything, it's very easy to set people up and to creatively edit things, right, to go and do whatever you want. So this is why you go around screaming and yelling and acting like a jerk, because it does not really solve anything. Because I tell you what, there will be a payday. And if you're that person scheming for the payday, I'm going to tell you that payday is fleeting also. It may feel good. You tell someone off. It may feel good for 10 or 15 minutes or, oh, I got to. But long term, if you have a conscience, you're like, man, you know what? I probably shouldn't have done that. Right? Or because this is what happens. It's very difficult to change people. And if you're going to, and the other thing is this, the only way that, let's say you're dealing with a psychopathic personality, like we described some, we've done several programs on that. It's probably time to revisit some of these things from season one and two. You're dealing with a psychopath. Very little is going to change that person's mind, change that person's behavior, unless there's only a couple of things. Number one is if it's immediate, if it hurts them. When I say hurt, I don't mean physically. And the other thing is, the other way is to get violent. I don't advocate violence. We don't advocate violence at all. But guess what? That's the level of involvement that it takes for you to straighten out someone like that. The thing, and it's a setup, because now they're going to play the victim. I've had people, especially in my younger days, I was much bigger, stronger, faster, like $6 million man territory. People try to goad you into a fight. Oh, yeah, happens. So this is, no, and then they hope that you go and you do something. It's like, really, Jim? You that sounds paranoid. That sounds ridiculous. That sounds, you know, this. That sounds that. And what happens is they try to goad you into a fight, and you end up being the one that gets hurt. Either you lose the fight, or you beat them up, and now all of a sudden, you're the ogre. You're the one doing this and doing that. I'm adjusting this on this camera. Now you're the one who's the bad guy. You're the one who gets arrested. You're the one who has to pay the consequence while they go on their merry old way. That's why you don't start fights. You don't be violent with that, because they'll flip around that victim mentality onto you. So what do I recommend you do? Be professional. Be as professional as possible here with people. Well, what do you mean? Document things. Go through your human resources. If necessary, and if it's legal, record them saying and doing things. Now you have leverage. Now, let's say that you're a safety professional. And you said, look, I pointed out a safety issue, and I got treated this way. They cut my hours. They did this. They did that. Now what do you have? You have a whistleblower complaint. If you're in a union shop, now, not a lot of safety people are, but there are safety people in unions. Now the unions, right, you could have a grievance possibly. I'm not an attorney. I'm not going to give legal advice. I'm going to tell you, don't be violent. Don't yell. Don't, because it's going to turn around. They'll turn it around on you. You'll get more respect now. You'll get more respect. You'll be easier to manage. I'm not going to say it never works, because sometimes it does work here. But what happens is eventually the decision maker is going to say, this person's a loose cannon, and how do I know that he or she isn't going to do that to me if I piss them off? And they're going to be able to take it out of context and everything else with that. So don't do that. Don't be smart. Don't be stupid. And as we had last week, we had that song. You're on the podcast, you heard it. If you're on the other one, you didn't. If you're going to be stupid, you better be strong, right, with things. So we're going to go to our first commercial break, and we're going to come back at you.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Posel with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
Thank you.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind.
And we're back. So here we have, I want to go over a story here. It comes out of Baltimore. Let me get back to the regular camera here before I get a cop violation notice here. So we'll share with you the thing, right? The Baltimore office of the Inspector General has released its report following an investigation into the Baltimore Department of Public Works. In the 48-page report, the OIG said its investigation revealed a negative work culture and concerns for worker safety and morale that had persisted for the last decade. So let's go into that report now. Here we go. So this is from the Office of Inspector General. City of Baltimore, Isabel Mercedes Cumming as the Inspector General. This was issued today. All right. And what's the mission of the OIG? Is to promote accountability, efficiency, and integrity in city government, as well as to investigate concerns. So, and then it gives you some of the, background on the thing, Baltimore, and we have map. That's what I'm looking for. And this gives you an idea of the roots, right? Of, I guess this is DPW, and the OIG completed multiple site visits to Valley's Lane and Cherry Hill, as well as seven other locations over the course of the investigation, including during the summer and winter months. So they were basically on them like a fly on Guvno. The OIG completed over 130 interviews during the investigation, including current and former solid waste employees. The OIG reviewed correspondence and all other kinds of information. So now we're coming in to here. The OIG's prior investigative efforts reports from the summer of 2024, details safety facility concerns at 9 DPW buildings at the solid waste yards. The OIG found the following during the July 2024 site visits. This was at one facility. The HVAC system in hallways or locker room areas was not working. The trailer with air conditioning was not being utilized. Significant damage was present in locker room areas, and no toilet paper was provided in the men's bathroom. The OIG confirmed that the toilet paper has remained in the stalls since DPW installed new toilet paper holders. Since OIG's investigation in June, right, DPW has made numerous improvements to both all of the facilities and provided updates and toilet paper. Hey, I tell you what, you wanna get people upset out there? You wanna get people angry? And everything else, you want to do that? I tell you what, you do. Run out of toilet paper. You will get a million and one. You wouldn't believe. I got pictures where people have not had the bathrooms sanitary, and I get pictures on some of the facilities I visited. It's like, really, Jim? Really? Yes, really. it's
I don't know what to tell you here. So, all right. And back to where we're at. Over in Cherry Hill, the OIG observed inoperable ice machines. Right? The HVAC system in the trailer or office areas was not working, missing floor tiles in the trailer, and a missing faucet handle in the men's locker room. No, all different types of pictures here. Okay, things were repaired. Right? This from that Bally's Lane. Numerous CPW employees and management confirmed the disrepair in poor state of Bally's Lane and Cherry Hill, which have existed a long time. Numerous witnesses say that they have been told that renovations were planned years ago, but they never occurred. Apparently, somebody can figure out how to make money on this one. Witnesses say that DPW waits too long to fix problems with the facilities. And witnesses consistently stated that prior management rarely visited the yards. Why would they? There's no bathrooms. It was described that limited temporary improvements had occurred over the years for, quote, putting lipstick on a pig, end quote. And a supervisor stated that there is an absence of initiative to enhance the facility conditions. According to Maryland State Archives, Maryland Lane purchased from by the city. In 1927, the city operated a landfill on the site until 1984. Here you go. The office, right? So a sample of witness descriptions for the conditions. These are four of them. They're pretty good. The office smelled like a sewer and of fecal matter. A witness stated an odor existed up until 3 months ago and was told it was smell of gas buildup at the facility. The poor facility conditions have existed for 20 years. One witness described a plumbing leak from the trailer occurring for 3 weeks. The city's contractor could not locate the shutoff valve. The witness stated that they had a family member visit the facility, locate the shutoff valve, and turn it off. Several supervisors said a lack of toilet paper was a response to a toilet paper being stolen from the facility. Right? That I'll believe. That's probably the most truthful statement here. However, since the toilet paper dispensers have been installed in the locker rooms, the toilet paper has remained available. Right, and going on, concerns about off-gassing from the landfill since it was closed, and this one's in Cherry Hill. That was also used as a landfill. They put it on there. It was added to a Superfund site list. The HVAC system did not function. There was a horrible and horrific. When entering the locker room, you feel like you're about to have a heart attack. It's extremely hot in the summer and cold in the winter. DPW has not provided heaters previously. The urinals, sinks, and water fountains were broken. I mean, going on and on and on. So, then they included work orders, right? And then how much it's going to cost. Here. Operational capacity, right? And air conditionings and vehicles. Here you go. Vehicles and supplies. Numerous solid waste workers, drivers, and supervisors stated the city's load packer trash guns continues to have maintenance issues that impact work, productivity, and safety. Workers noted several issues on the trucks have occurred in recent years. No air conditioning installed. Broken or inadequate air conditioning. I mean, those Baltimore summers do get hot. The lifters or tippers on the back of the truck used to assist workers with dumping cans in the truck often do not work. When the workers then lift the cans themselves and dump the waste into the truck, shocks do not function well. Hydraulic issues, they're generally dirty. There are holes in some of the vehicles that exhaust to enter the cabin areas. And in 2023, DGS completed 1,546 repairs classified as an avoidable cost due to the abuse of equipment, 374 quick service item repairs, 295 preventative maintenance services, 294 road calls. So what they're saying is they're blaming the worker here. I would love to see the thing, right? They're supposed to do a vehicle condition assessment before and after they drive a solid waste vehicle. DPW documents needs assessment with pre- and post-trip checklists. Witnesses stated that these inspection checklists are not done correctly. One witness said some drivers will let minor things go before something major is not working that requires work. A driver said during the first few months on the job, they're unsure how to fill out the checklist. You know, goes on and on. Let's get to the thing, right? Injuries, discipline, and DPW frontline supervision. Since from 2019 to 2024, VSW employees, Baltimore Solid Waste employees, have reported 1,627 injury claims to the city's third-party workers' comp, averaging approximately one claim per workday. They've also had 6 deaths in the last six years. Right? $15 million in workers' comp. Now we're going to classify them. In 2024, 154 and 293 injuries were employees from Valley's Lane. So that's a little bit more than half. And Cherry Hill, the other 154 injuries. The workers' comp vendor documented that 41 were diagnosed as sprains, strains, and tears, 19 lacerations, 18 contusions, 17 inflammations. 11 of the 12 heat-related illnesses were Valley's Lane and Cherry Hill workers. The city's deputy chief of risk management explained that employees will have back strains and sprains when doing routine work. The employees they have a right to report the injury. During the interviews, the DPW leadership said no one should be suspended for reporting an injury the next day. And injuries should be reported to workers' comp vendor for them to determine validity of the claim. Now, this is where it gets a little bit interesting. A DPW HR manager stated they have been begging for a standard operating procedure on reporting injuries for years because there are instances when employees get injured and say they are fine, go home, come back the following day and report an injury. The DPW HR manager stated there is an issue because once you leave the crime scene, no one knows what you are doing. So now, it's a crime scene. You get hurt, it's now a crime scene. Right? They believe that a policy should incorporate disciplines for injuries that are not imported and reported. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah. It's either you report the injuries or else. Didn't we hear this from something similar from the Secretary of Transportation the other day? Fire them if there's a near miss. Yeah. Fire them if there's a near miss. Hey, maybe we should find out how they managed to have a near miss. You know? Maybe they should be congratulated. Let's, you know, come on. Right? DPW HR manager emphasized protecting DPW not with lies, but with facts. They believe that a policy should incorporate discipline for injuries that are not reported. Wow. The city's administrative manual, again, I'm just reading this, 204-10, job-related injuries and illnesses policy, states that delays or failures by employees and supervisors to report a job-related injury or illness, complete the employee incident report, or contact workers' comp shall result in disciplinary action up to and including termination. And they wonder why people don't report shit? Really? However, OSHA provides guidance regarding disciplinary programs, stating that employers must not use disciplinary action the threat of disciplinary action to retaliate against an employee for reporting an injury or illness. Moreover, they give an example of an employee twisting their ankle at work but not immediately reporting it because it was not sore or swollen. The employee reports the injury the next day, and the employer disciplines the employee for failing to report the injury immediately. OSHA concludes that this violates OSHA's rule 1904.35B14 by disciplining the employee because it fails to account for injuries building over time and taking adverse action against an employee constant, right? Well, thank God OSHA has a policy, but that doesn't apply here because you're dealing with the government.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, let me get this straight. You have the government here on one end protecting their ass. And then I wonder if these are all patronage jobs here. That's my question. Are they actually qualified to do this? Because I have to question that, whoever wrote these policies. Or are they from like pre-1970?
Right.
So. Basically, it comes down to shame, blame, retrain, fire, discipline, and everything else. How are you supposed to manage something like this? Numerous employees shared their concerns about how DPW handled injuries. One employee shared that they experienced a medical emergency when supervisors did not document or report the injury. The employee met the workers on the route that day and did not start the day at the yard. During the investigation, the OIG learned it is not uncommon for workers to meet their driver en route. The employee said when they arrived at the truck that day, they began experiencing a medical issue. The supervisor never reported. Supervisor never completed reports. The HR manager explained that a report should have been completed and the coverage determination shouldn't have been left to the workers' comp vendor. Instead, the employee was hospitalized and lost a month's pay. An EIR was never completed. A OIG reviewed the records and will continue investigation. Sounds like they had to pay out of pocket on this one. Another worker explained that a solid waste employee was injured by a trash truck and workers expected them to finish the route before seeking medical attention. A solid waste worker reported their face and shirt were burned when an unknown object blew up in the trash area of the truck. They waited for a supervisor to come to the scene, but they returned to the yard because the supervisor was taking too long. The supervisor then drove them to the clinic to be examined. A worker contacted the OIG with concerns related to a return to work. They were going through what is known as the options process. The health clinic stated the employee would not be able to return to his job due to the lasting impact of the injury, while the employee's personal doctor said he was able to return to work without restrictions. When those circumstances occur, employees are presented with a letter containing four options, including retiring, searching for another job within the city, or protesting the health clinic's decision by submitting to an independent medical exam. The employee stated the supervisor met him while he was working on the street. The supervisor gave him the letter and had a union representative on the phone. The employee stated he was told he needed to read the letter and make his decision right at that time. I added that. But I had to make his decision, quote, at that time. Employee reported that he did not have enough time to make the decision, expressed that he wished he had selected a different option than what he did. The Office of Labor Commission expressed they would be willing to work with DPW to review the letter to see if it can be revised to be easier to understood. Again, multiple problems at the health clinic. Employees said the health clinic's doctors do not answer their questions or conduct any physical evaluations. They were then told they can return to work on light duty, but the health clinic's discharge instructions also instruct the employee to follow their personal doctor's guidance, which sometimes conflicts the health clinic's light duty determination. In these situations, employees use their own leave time, and if there is no leave time, they are forced to take leave without pay, which creates financial hardships. Really gotta love that Baltimore, huh? All I am doing is reading a government report, as usual. Performance evaluations and discipline process. Numerous DPW employees reported they do not receive performance evaluations regarding their work performance. Many employees said that write-ups and discipline are either retaliatory or are done inconsistently due to favoritism. Welcome to government workers. Work. Employees said that when they reported unsafe driving about a driver or requested replace another driver, supervisors verbally chastised them. You know, this goes on and on and on here. So, again, what do we have here? Do we have conclusions here? Findings and recommendations. Here we go. Regarding sexual and operational issues, regarding facilities, they need repair. All right. Lack of proper staffing levels. Reviewing recycling routes. New vehicles. And better maintenance. An investigation covered that half of the injuries occurred at two facilities. The OIG recommends that DPW formalize a standard operating process and conduct comprehensive training for injuries. We're here, 845-269-5772. We can help you out on that. Problems with the health clinic. Health clinic is inconvenient for many solid waste employees. The OIG encourages performance evaluations for frontline employees and supervisors. Disciplining employees without documenting or providing feedback on job performance lowers morale. Probably, and I'm going to add this, probably it might be illegal. I don't know. Further, it creates the appearance that there is a lack of accountability for frontline supervisors. DPW should also work to ensure that new solid waste employees receive one-on-one explanations of the discipline process. At the time of their interviews, workers believed their supervisors did not support them, did not care for their safety, and did not handle injuries properly, and were unwilling to assist. The frontline supervisors require comprehensive training, especially in conflict management and de-escalation. Once trained, these supervisors should be held accountable to the standards outlined in the training. Right. Additionally, they have to review the process of promoting based on seniority. Again, are they putting people in charge that should not be put in charge? And, you know, they say they got to solve this. The investigation revealed that DPW lacks comprehensive job training programs. Right? The current on-the-job training that is provided contributes to an unsafe work environment and increases the chances of injury. They should learn how to drive. And developing a mentorship program. All different types of problems here with that. So, what does it come down to? Comes down to this. This is the problem with sovereign immunity, is what it comes down to. Number one, people are not held accountable for anything. This is, I'm not picking on Baltimore. I'm going to say I get feedback. I get people talking to me. I get people doing all different types of stuff out there. And essentially, this is not a unique situation for public employees. This is when you have nepotism. This is where you have favoritism and all the other isms coming together. One of the problems often with a union shop is this. Who gets promoted to be foreman? Because foreman technically is a manager as far as OSHA is concerned. But they're not covered by OSHA. That's the other thing. That's why it's important for us. Now they're talking about OSHA reform is to remove sovereign immunity from the municipalities and state and local governments and everything. So we know when it comes to OSHA regulations, so there's a little bit more accountability and federal oversight because they're basically doing whatever the hell they want, is what it sounds like to me. We have story after story after story here on our OSHA end on this. So we're going to go and take a break, and I'm going to get stuff set up for the next session here.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Posel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Posel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Posel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy.
Okay, so here we have some other government stuff going on here, right? So this is from a New York State Rockland County courthouse right down the street from me. Here, practically. Again, this is Pesh or someone else coming in and doing a thing. And they came out with 6 violations. Again, these are the people enforcing the law. These are the people who are supposed to be, I would hope, 100% compliant with the law. But they have issues. Let's see what they are. These are general industry. Okay, come on. What's the violation? Gotta love it with this. Not coming up. Okay. Well, none of this is coming up. Okay, so what do we have? 1910.37. Oh, we're gonna do a fast one here. Let me pull up this. We'll just pull up the regulation here. So you have 1910.37, right? I don't know why OSHA regulation did this. So construct general industry. 1910.037. Maintenance safeguards and operational features basically, it's safeguards designed to protect employees during emergencies. Sprinkler systems, alarm systems, fire doors, exit lights were not working. Wow, that's great. 1910.165. And this is DO1. What do we got on here? The employer shall assure that all employees' alarm systems are maintained in operating condition, except when undergoing repairs or maintenance. 1910.303B07. So here we have an electrical situation, B07. Mechanical execution of work. Electrical equipment shall be installed in a neat and workmanlike manner. And they don't get into details here, but this includes unused openings and boxes. Conductors shall be racked. Internal parts of electrical equipment may not be damaged. And no damaged parts. And then we also have a GO2. And this is guarding of live parts. Apparently there was some issue with that. A 1910-022-A2. What do we got there? 1910-022. Walking and working services. Problems there. Right? And then AO2, right? The floor of each work room must be clean and to the extent possible in a dry condition. And there was another violation here with them of a local law. I'm not sure what that is. Just general requirements here with the, you know, for electrical. Again, right down the street from me. Let's see what else we got here. Any other government things? Borough of Point Pleasant Beach, DPW. Well, we just reviewed about a DPW. This is Point Pleasant Beach. 11 violations. But apparently they got fined by somebody. My suspicion is that they subcontracted this out to a private company because government normally does not fine government here. So here we have right, this was issued on 12/18. This might be in negotiation here. Again, 1910 problems here. Duty to have fall protection. Walking working services. Compressed gases. General requirements. $6,300 proposed penalties. A lockout tagout. We have two violations on that. 1910-157-CO4. Again, none of this hits press releases anymore. Portable fire extinguisher issue, $5,400. All okay, right? 1910-215, problems with the abrasive wheel machinery, $5,400. And it's some from the New Jersey state law. So this is probably POSHA doing this. Not sure what that state law is, but it was $6,300. 1910-132-DO2, general requirements, right, of PPE. 1910-147, lockout, tagout issues. 1910-157, portable fire extinguisher. Let's check out the lockout, tagout issues. CO6. Periodic inspection requirements under lockout tagout. Again, you know, here, what else we have? This is for a fire department. Two violations here. Again, no fines issued. 1910-134, FO2, respiratory protection. FO2. Yeah, we're just running through the regulations here. F. Employer shall ensure an employee using a tight-fitting face use respirator is fit tested. Again, no fit testing on that. All Right, that was the big one. And the other one was Sirius 1910-135-K05. And let's see, K05. And this is K. K05. And its retraining shall be administered annually, right, for under certain circumstances. All right, City of Cortland Manor on the other side. This was done by New York State DOL Pesh out of Syracuse for violations here. Again, no fines issued. That's an issue. Right. New Jersey DOT, yellow frame yard. Right. We have one $1,000 penalty, 1904. That's a record keeping violation here. The annual summary was not posted. Rushford, Volunteer Fire Department out of New York State Pesh. 1910-25. Stairway issue. 1910-156. Issues with the fire brigade. Employer shall inform fire brigade members about special hazards such as storage and use of flammable gases and toxic chemicals, radioactive sources, and water reactive substances to which they may be exposed to. Okay. You get the idea here. Rules for thee, but not for me. That's what we got. So we've concentrated mostly on, exclusively on government issues tonight and not complying with occupational safety and health laws, or there not being any safety and health laws here with this. Let me download this. I don't know. You can see where people are a little bit upset here, you know, with things. I get a lot of stuff from government employees. Well, what about us? They treat us like crap. State government not doing what they're supposed to and doing right by their people, and the union often okay with it or uneducated. You think that any of this is typical? Anything like this is atypical, what we're seeing up? I mean, it's pretty common. I hear this all the time about local governments and what they don't do and don't do and everything else, and everyone's okay with it. I think if Congressman Biggs' law does get through, this is probably needs to be one of the things. State and local government must comply with rules. Don't exempt them from the rules. Fine them. Criminal liability. All the stuff that happens with us and private industry should be applied to them as right also. I understand, well, Jim, there are laws on the federal level that every head of every agency has got to be responsible for safety for their. I get it. But what if Well, what happens when those things are not followed? Remember 9/11 here. We get the commercials every day here in New York and New Jersey area. If you were exposed to 9/11 dust, if you were working in downtown south of on Wall Street, blah, 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 from September 11th, 2001 to June of 2022, blah, 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 May 30th, right? I got there in June, right? So I missed out on this, right? Well, you should do this, 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 and this. Then you hear a certain EPA administrator say the air is safe to breathe, no problem. There's no OSHA, director of OSHA at that time. That was confirmed. The ones that were eventually confirmed, no safety background. What the hell's going on? Is what I have to say. This with what happened in Baltimore, this would not fly in private industry, even by the most lax company with safety issues that I can think of. That would not fly. So that's what I got for you tonight. Thanks for bearing with me, and we will get back to you, God willing, tomorrow. It may be some. I'm going to post on Rumble tonight. Or tomorrow. This whole thing with the latest LA Fire Department Fire Commissioner meeting. And boy, did some people take a piece of humble pie during that meeting. Incredible. You know, again, you're not going to find a lot of this coverage anywhere else except for here on Safety Wars on the Safety FM network, because there is a war for your safety, and you have to be involved in fighting that war. You have to be your advocate. And that's what I'm asking you to be, and that's what our point is. You are your advocate, not someone else. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Pozel, and we will get back to you tomorrow, God willing.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.
Love's like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast. Danger signs, but we don't lie. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged out, hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start.